It's a blessing to be with you this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be spending the bulk of our time this morning there. In the previous lesson, we talked about disciples teaching, and one of the contexts in which that happens is in the home. And I mentioned on that occasion that there would be an upcoming lesson on parenthood, and this is a fulfillment of that promise. And so we're going to be thinking about parenting from Proverbs. I had PowerPoint, but I don't have power, so I left my cord at home. It was an above average presentation, though, I assure you. Or not. Parents have one job. And I know it doesn't feel that way, it doesn't seem that way, but really, we have one job. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, God says about Abraham, "I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham all that he has spoken about him." And so Abraham's role is to command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Everything else is secondary to that purpose. To teaching our children to keep the way of the Lord. And that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. And as parents, the first thing we have to do with our children is get their attention. And the proverb writer really drives that idea home. I want to look at several proverbs here, kind of in quick succession. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." And then in Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding." In Proverbs 3 and verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 1. "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.'" Sounds like a parent, doesn't it? Are you listening to me? Are you paying attention? Don't forget. Now, my parents used to tell me, and now I'm telling you, I'm not done yet. Proverbs 5 and verse 1, "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding." Proverbs 6 and verse 20, "My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you." And you may be thinking, all of those passages say the same thing over and over and over again. Yes, they do. That's the point. And that's what we sound like to our children sometimes. Like we're saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. And the reason is because they're not listening to us. That's exactly what needs to happen. Because at some point, you have to get past the Charlie Brown phenomenon. You remember every time an adult talks on Charlie Brown, you remember how that sounds. Womp, womp, womp. That's real. That's funny because it is real. And we've got to cut through that and break through that. And the reason that we have to say things over and over and over again is because initially our children don't believe us. And because they don't believe us, they're not paying attention. And they don't believe us because they don't know. When the proverb writer starts out explaining why he's writing this book, he says in Proverbs 1 and verse 4 that part of the purpose of the book is to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. Now, small children are surrounded by things that threaten them, but they have no experience with those things. And so we try to teach them in such a way that they don't have to suffer the consequences of not knowing. I remember very early on, this is probably my earliest memory of disciplining my children. Christine kept reaching out and wanting to play with the electrical outlet, which seemed like maybe not the most prudent thing to me. And we kept telling her no, and eventually we had to discipline her and attach some milder consequences than 110 volts so that she wouldn't have to suffer the full consequences. And that's really a significant part of discipline, is attaching milder consequences so they don't have to suffer the full consequences. Several years later, we're in the carport with Jacob, and he's looking at the lawnmower. And he grabs the muffler. Unfortunately, it was hot. And he learned the lesson through the full consequences, because we didn't have time. I mean, it was lightning fast. Just, shah! And I felt awful. Because I huge blister. I didn't want him to learn that way. They don't know. And as they go through life, they're going to face one thing after another that we know about and they don't. And of course they don't believe those things are as harmful as they really are because they don't know. And so we've got to get their attention, because there are things in life worse than a lawnmower muffler. Much, much worse. There are things that will leave scars and do damage that are far worse than that. And they've never seen those things before, and we have. And so we've got to get their attention. We've got to make sure they're listening. Secondly, all of this repetition happens because we're trying to program them. Moses says in Deuteronomy, God says through Moses in Deuteronomy, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, parents, I want you to think about this for a minute. You all know something, just like we read a moment ago, David is talking about when he was tender, the only son in the sight of his mother, that his father taught him some things. You all know there was something that your parents said to you over and over and over and over again. And after the 37th time, you say to yourself, I will never say that to them. That irritates me so much. I will never say that to my kids. And then fast forward a few years later, and your child does something, and those words come out of your mouth. And you think, oh no, I have become my parents. That was the point. That was the whole point of that. That's why they said that over and over again. They were etching that on your heart and mind. For better or for worse, that was the point. And that's what we need to do. We need to say things. Some things need to be said so many times that they could not forget it if they wanted to. Now, the content of this is not of our own making. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, the content of the teaching, the proverb writer, was such that he was not giving his own ideas, his own wisdom, his own understanding of things, but the content of his teaching was divine. He was teaching God's way and God's will, and he was trying to etch that on the hearts and minds of his children. In Proverbs 3 and verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It's not about doing things your way. We're not raising kids so they can sort of discover their own way or make their own path. We're raising children so they will walk in the ways of the Lord. So they will do things God's way. But those ways need to be etched deeply on their psyche, on their heart and mind. And that's done through repetition. And so we have to be willing. We have to have the diligence and the perseverance, be willing to say the same things over and over and over and over again. Because at one point we needed that. And if we love our children, we'll do it for them. Because they're children. They don't know. And they continue to face situations where they're unprepared by experience. Secondly, after we have got their attention, we need to impress upon them that choices have consequences. And of course, that concept is repeated over and over again in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, Proverbs 22 and the 15th verse, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That sweet little bundle of joy is a fool. In the biblical sense, it's not his fault. Foolishness in Proverbs is about, again, not understanding that actions have consequences. And children don't know that. And it is the parents' job to make our children wise. And so we've got to show them, by attaching consequences to their actions, that actions do have consequences. Proverbs 13:24, Proverbs the 13th chapter, verse 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. This takes courage. It takes courage to discipline your children. Because they're not going to like it. Children are not going to enjoy discipline. As the Hebrew writer said, we looked at this morning in class, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. I'm sure there are a number of children here who would give a hearty amen to that. or former children who would give a hearty amen to that. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. We have to have the courage to do things for our children that they are not going to enjoy. And let me say this as kindly as possible, but as forcefully as possible, too. If you need your child to like you all the time, you are not ready to be a parent. If you need your child to like you all of the time, you are not ready to be a parent. You are going to have to do things that are for their good that they will not enjoy. They will not like. You're going to have to put restrictions on them that they won't understand. You're going to have to attach consequences that they will not appreciate. You're going to have to do a whole host of things that are going to be very, very unpopular for a good long while. And especially early on, they're not going to understand it. And it's because they don't understand it that they need this. And need it desperately. And we have to be willing to do what, of course, God does in Hebrews 12. We have to be willing to discipline our children for their good, even though they may not understand that it is for their good. And the reason this is necessary is stated clearly in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36. Proverbs 8 is a personification of wisdom. Wisdom is described as a lady. And she says in Proverbs 8:36, "He who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." Okay, God has ordered the world in a certain way. And we recognize that order all around us all the time. We understand that there are certain realities that have to be faced. That two objects can't occupy the same space at the same time. You may not like that, but you can't change it. Gravity is a thing. Gravity's always going to be a thing, at least in this world. You may not like it, but you can't change it. And so if you deny those realities, there are necessary consequences attached to those things. You can shake your fist at God all the way down after stepping off the 10-story building, but it won't change the outcome. That's the way the world is set up. Those are physical realities that everybody recognizes and nobody really questions. But there is an equal and certain set of spiritual realities that everybody seems to question and very few people seem to recognize. Wisdom is living in harmony with those spiritual realities. And the wise parent is going to do everything he or she can to teach, sometimes through punishment and correction, discipline, to teach children about the consequences of those actions. Because if they don't learn it in the little ways, when they get out in the world and ignore those realities, well, we know what the outcome is. Lady Wisdom says, "All those who hate me love death." It's not going to end well. And so somebody says, and this is, I don't know if anybody's saying this anymore, it was really popular for a while, You hear parents, I just want my child to develop in his own way and find his own path. Well, you know, strip him naked and have him run through cactus. He'll find his own path there too, but that's not going to go well. We live in a world where we have an enemy. The world is not full of nice things and nice people. As Paul would say, the days are evil. And we're sending our children out into that world. Now, we can send them out prepared or unprepared. We can send them out ready to deal with the moral and spiritual challenges that they're going to face, or we can send them out unprepared to deal with the moral and spiritual challenges. In addition, Proverb writer says in Proverbs 3:12, "For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom He delights." And so there's a parallel between what we're trying to do for our children and what God is trying to do for us. And as we raise our children, we're really preparing them to be handed over to God, who's going to complete the job that we've tried to start. And we need to set them up for success in that. God wants us to parent in such a way that He can finish what we've started. Proverb writer says in Proverbs 19:18, "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death." The other thing we need to know is there's a statute of limitations on this. There's a time when we won't have any more time to impress upon our children that all of their choices have consequences. We've got to get that job done as quickly as possible, because the time goes by really fast. Really fast. And one day you will look back, for better or for worse, you will look back and say, what happened? How did we get here so fast? And I know it doesn't seem that way when you're up with a crying baby and you haven't slept in 3 nights. You think this is going to take forever. But it's not going to take forever. It's a moment in time. Ask any parent who's got teenagers or above, ask them how quickly that time went by. Just like that. And so discipline your son or your daughter while there's hope, because you don't have very long. The final thing I want to think about is that wisdom touches every area of life. And let me put your mind at ease. We're not going to talk about every area of life. But I want to hit a couple of things kind of quickly as sort of examples. Because we need to be thinking about every aspect of their lives, and every choice they're going to make needs to be shaped by the wisdom of God. First of all, we can't teach wisdom if we're not practicing wisdom. We can't give what we don't have. It's not going to work. And so we've got to internalize these truths ourselves. You know, one of the very early lessons that children learn is that, or hopefully that they learn, is that you shouldn't lie. Children lie. And they need to understand the benefits of integrity. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 11 and verse 3, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them." And our children, you know, when they're We go to them and say, did you eat the cookie? And they say, no, I didn't eat the cookie. And, you know, they got crumbs all over their face. It doesn't seem like a big deal then. But fast forward 20 years, when nobody wants to have anything to do with them because nothing they say has any meaning, and their reputation is ruined, and they can't get a job because they can't be trusted, then those cookie crumbs aren't cute anymore. Because the reality of a lack of integrity has come home. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 19:1, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Children need to learn, and they need to learn early, that you don't sacrifice your integrity for anything. No matter what advantage you might think that might bring in the short term, no matter how good the payout is, you don't sacrifice your integrity. You're better off to be honest and poor than crooked and wealthy. And I would say, again, if you don't know why that's true, you're not ready to parent. Success is about character, not comfort. Success is about character, not accomplishment. Children need to learn self-control. You know, we've all run into adults that have trouble controlling their anger. And do you know where they come from? They come from children who have trouble controlling their anger. That's where they come from. And at some point, somebody failed to teach them what the proverb writer says in Proverbs 14:29, that is, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. That's going to wreck your life. It's going to destroy your relationships. It's going to diminish you and everybody around you if you don't get a handle on that. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. There's a wonderful story about Alexander going into India with his men. And they came upon some mystics who were sitting around, and Alexander comes up to this fellow who doesn't even acknowledge his presence. And one of Alexander's lieutenants sweeps in and begins to berate the man and says, don't you know he has conquered the world? And the mystic looked up at him and he said, but I have conquered the need to conquer the world. And the man continued to berate him, and Alexander said, stop. If I could not be Alexander, I would be him. Because he recognized the true strength of being able to control your own desires. He may not have mastered it himself, but he at least honored the wisdom of it. Our children need to know that. Our children need to understand that true strength is not forcing your will on everyone around you, but learning to conquer your own will. Children need to learn the kind of self-control that would overcome self-indulgence. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 23:21, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. If you're all about satisfying whatever hunger happens to be driving you at the moment, it will destroy you. Our children need to know that. They need to learn to control themselves. their anger, their desire. They need to learn to work hard. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. They need to learn to work hard when they don't like what they're doing, not only when they do like what they're doing. Because it's about their character. And I would say, when we're talking to our kids about things like school, whether it be grade school or high school or college or whatever, don't be driven by the numbers. Don't be driven. Don't worry about the numbers. The numbers will take care of themselves. Teach your children to work hard, to do their best, even when they're doing their best at something they don't enjoy. And the numbers and the grades will take care of themselves. But if they get straight A's and don't learn to work hard, they're in a far worse place than a guy who got C's but worked for them and knows what it means to work. Because again, it's not about success as the world judges success. It's about who they're going to be, who they're becoming. We need to teach our children about sexual morality. Because we live in a culture that has a competing message. And we've got to deal with that. It's embarrassing. It's awkward. It's hard to talk about. But somebody's going to write that narrative. And if we don't, the world will. Turn with me and we'll finish up with this. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. Solomon says, I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. And so Solomon is looking out the window, and he sees a young man. He says, a young guy doesn't have any sense. He doesn't have any sense. And he observes this young man, and he's going to a place he never should have been in the first place. And in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She's now in the streets, now in the squares, lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him. And with a brazen face, she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings today, and I have paid my vows. Therefore, I have come out to meet you. She didn't come out to meet him. She came out to meet somebody. She certainly didn't have him specifically in mind. But she's drawing him in. And this, I mean, you can reverse the roles. It happens all the time. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I've sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. This is going to be good. This is going to be wonderful. This is going to fulfill your every desire. And those desires are real. And they're strong. And this young man has no idea what he's letting himself in for. Fast forward to Proverbs 7:25. Solomon says, do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. He says that right on the heels of noting that the young man that he observed ended up with an arrow in his liver. It killed him. It destroyed is life. I cannot tell you how many stories I've heard about a godly young lady who finds someone she thought was a godly young man. They get married, and after the marriage, she finds out to her shame and disgust that he doesn't have any interest in her because he's so caught up in pornography that he no longer understands what it is to have true God-ordained intimacy. And the thing is a wreck from the beginning. That's an endemic problem. That's not, I wish I could say that was some strange thing or some outlier. But somebody failed to build the necessary barriers, to put up the necessary protections, to give the necessary warnings. And sadly, others had to eat the bitter fruit of that failure. And I know those are not enjoyable things to think about. I understand that. But this is not a game. Little children are cute and they're fun. And they're funny. That's great. That's a blessing. But don't be fooled, because this is not a game. Eternity is at stake. And we cannot take this lightly. And there's a whole book. There's a whole book here written about how to do this in the Proverbs. It's all about fathers teaching their sons. And understand, the scope of Proverbs is larger than that. But that's a huge part of this book. And yet, it's also a neglected part of Scripture. And the problem is, if we don't get wisdom, we will end up doing foolish things. And so as parents, we've got to get wisdom so we can give it. I thank you for your patience and your kind attention. If you are not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, you are without God and without hope in the world. And we don't want that for you. We want you to share our hope and our joy in Christ Jesus. So we would call you to come to God through Christ Jesus, believing in Him and turning away from your sins, being baptized, putting to death the old man and being raised up to walk in newness of life. If we can help you to obey the gospel this morning, or you need the prayers of the saints, we can help you in any kind of way. Come now as we stand and as we sing.